Thank you and good morning. For the past few weeks, we have been looking at various subjects and comparing what our culture teaches us on these subjects and what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. You know, there is the thinking of our culture, but then we have the words of our Lord. In many cases, the thinking of our Lord goes counter to that of our culture. And so the Christian must practice what we have called countercultural thinking. Today, I want to compare what our culture teaches us concerning the role of women with what our Lord teaches. There is a difference between the way our culture thinks about women's roles and the way the Lord wants His people to think about them. Our culture is greatly influenced by feminism and what is called egalitarianism, that is, complete equality between men and women. Now, there are different levels of feminism. Within feminism, there are the radical feminists who believe that the world would be a better place if the world was ruled by women. One feminist wrote, and I quote, "A feminist believes a world where socio-religious and legal systems are governed by women would be a more humane world than the present one, which is governed by men. There would be less greed, injustice, exploitation, and warfare." End of quote. Well, I suggest to you that these feminists are anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-Bible. They do not believe that feminism and the Bible are compatible. Another feminist wrote, "A feminist who loves the Bible produces in the thinking of many an oxymoron." This writer goes on to say, "After all, if no man can serve two masters, no woman can serve two authorities, a master called Scripture and a mistress called feminism." End of quote. But there is also what someone called the right wing of the feminist movement. These are also called biblical feminists. They believe that the Bible teaches complete equality between men and women, even as to their roles in the home and in the church. There is a group known as Christians for Biblical Equality, and they contend that the Scriptures, rightly interpreted, teaches the equality of men and women, not only in that they are equal bearers of the divine image and that they have equal access to the blood of Christ and its blessings, but that equality of men and women means getting rid of all role distinctions. Well, this is egalitarianism. And this has become more accepted in our culture and even among denominational churches. In many churches, women are in leadership roles, and you rarely hear them teaching what the Bible says about wives' submission to their husbands or that women are to be in submission within the church. Randall Balmer says our views on gender roles are, quote, "now derided as anachronistic by the broader culture," end of quote. Anachronistic means not belonging in the period of time in which we live. In other words, he's saying our view on gender roles is viewed as antiquated, out of date, not belonging to this period of time in history. And that is the way that many view Bible passages that teach women's submissive role. They pass them off as being just the beliefs of the culture of that day, and therefore they do not apply to us. Well, today we want to show that the scriptural passages that teach women's submissive role are not cultural, but are divinely ordained for the church in all generations and in all cultures. First of all, I want to emphasize that equality and subordination are not contradictions. You know, some people think that if two people are equal, then one cannot be subordinate to the other. They think that if one is submissive to another, then he is inferior to the one to whom he submits. But this is not true. Equality and subordination are not contradictions. You know, the Bible teaches the equality of men and women, and it also teaches that women are given a submissive role. These teachings are not contradictory. First, the Bible teaches that men and women are equal. You know, both men and women are created in the image of God. In Genesis 1 verse 27 it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." And so both men and women are equal bearers of the divine image. Both men and women are equally human beings. Consequently, women are not inferior members of the human race and are not to be considered as second-class citizens. Also, both men and women have equal access to the kingdom of Christ and its blessings. Paul said in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so all human beings are equal in that they can become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. One cannot be kept from becoming a child of God by his or her nationality, Paul says neither Jew nor Greek, nor by his or her status in society, neither slave nor free, nor by gender, neither male nor female. All are equal in this respect. Now, egalitarians use this passage to try to prove that there are no distinctions in the roles of male and female. But this passage is talking about who can be children of God and on what basis. It is not talking about male and female roles. Now, other passages teach that there is a distinction in the roles of males and females. These passages teach that the female role is one of submission. Look in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Also in 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." Now, these passages clearly teach that women are given a submissive role in the home and in the church. Now, unless one is willing to charge the Holy Spirit with being inconsistent and contradictory, then one is forced to conclude that equality and subordination are not contradictory. Two can be equal and still one be given the responsibility to submit to the other. You know, a good example of this is the submission of the Son of God to His Father. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, is fully God. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." But at the same time, Jesus is subject to God the Father. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And so the head of Christ is God, God the Father. Christ was sent to this earth by the Father to do the will of the Father, and He obeyed. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." You see, Jesus was submissive. Now, is Jesus the Son a lesser God because it is His role to be submissive to His Father? Is He inferior to the Father because He is submissive to the Father? Well, no. Well, if Christ's subjection to His Father does not suggest inferiority, then the woman's subjection to the man certainly does not imply her inferiority, as feminists so wrongly insist. The difference between the Father and the Son is a functional one, not an essential one. They differ not in their essence or nature, but in the different roles they carry out in the Godhead. Well, similarly, men and women do not differ in their humanness, nor do they differ in their relationship with God. They differ only in the roles they have been assigned by God. You know, when a policeman calls upon a driver to pull over and the driver submits, does this mean that the policeman is a superior citizen and that the driver is an inferior one within the community? Well, no. Again, submission to one in authority does not mean inferiority. Women are not inferior beings just because they have been given a submissive role. They're not inferior citizens in the kingdom of Christ. You know, the scriptures show that women serve in deeply significant ways in the early church. Phoebe was a servant of the church in Cenchrea, Romans 16 verses 1 and 2. Now, Paul does not specify what kind of service she rendered, but his language clearly shows that this sister was doing things in the Lord's work that amounted to far more than a token contribution. Paul said she had been a helper of many and of myself also. Her work was important enough that Paul instructed the church in Rome to assist her in whatever way she had need while she was there. Also, there were women who ministered to Jesus' needs. Read Luke 8, verses 2 and 3. We read of Tabitha, who was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Acts 9, verse 36. The older women are instructed to teach the younger women. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. Priscilla, with her husband, was involved in teaching Apollos the way of God more perfectly. Acts 18, verse 26. In more than one place, Paul speaks of women who were fellow workers in the gospel and who labored in the Lord. Romans 16, Philippians 4 and verse 3. Now, quote, biblical feminists say that the work and service of women mentioned in these scriptures prove that there are no gender role distinctions. However, none of these works that we have mentioned necessitate a woman taking on leadership roles. These passages do not contradict those passages that clearly teach that women are to be in submission. Look with me again in 1 Timothy 2, and this time I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Now, what is the reason given here why women are to be in submission? Now, some will say that it was their cultural belief, and Paul is just reflecting the cultural norms of that day. And they say, since our culture today doesn't believe in and practice the submission of women, we therefore are not required to obey Paul's instructions. But it is important for us to note that Paul gives the reasons why women were to be in submission. He gives two reasons. He says, first, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And then second, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. And so the woman's submissive role is not based on human speculation or the present cultural beliefs. It is based on God's original order and creation. Adam was formed first, then Eve. And it is based on the woman having been altogether deceived by the serpent in the garden and came into transgression. Paul's instructions then are ordained by God because of what God established at the beginning. These instructions then apply to all generations and all cultures. Dear listener, our culture today teaches us that there is no distinction in gender roles, but our Lord teaches otherwise. The question we need to ask is, to whom will we listen? Our time is gone today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a question for our program, we would like to hear from you. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may ask us your questions or send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.